Welcome, 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 everyone. This is Sunshine with Whiplash Talk. I am so excited. It's been a very long 2 weeks for me, and I'm glad to be back home with every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of my day. It's so wonderful to hear from you, and so many of you reach out and support with your love and with your means of resources and just with your energetics when I'm on the show. I do feel you, and I do feel your support and your love, and it's nice. It's really, really nice to have family out there all over the globe, as they call it. We don't really know what that globe is. We may be in our little frog pond, but hey, I know that you are all out there, and it's very, very special to me. It is March, middle of March already. Like, what? Like, the first quarter of the year is like, poof, not that we're supposed to be on timelines, but wow, it's going fast. So I just wanted to jump in. I've got a lot to cover today. I think the first thing I need to let you guys in on is that I finished the quilt top. So that is done. It is now all shipped off with the binding and the backing to the long arm quilter, which is the person that takes the backing and the batting that's in the middle and the top, and they quilt it all together and do the beautiful stitching and all of that. And then we get the binding sewn on, which goes around to kind of close up the seams. And then all I'll have left to do is sew the labels on, the quilt labels on, and it'll be ready to send to Bill's daughter. So I had some emotions arise after I made the last stitch and had it done and all folded up and boxed up. And I'm like, I had a hard time for a second. I'm like, why am I so emotional over this? And of course, I, you know, kind of got a lot of interesting, hey, Michael, that's funny. I got a lot of interesting feelings coming through. And of course, I jumped on my commands really quick, but I identified them. And it wasn't the missing Bill emotions. It wasn't the grief or the pain or the anguish. It was I had put pressure on myself to get this done sooner. And in my pressure, felt that I had failed on getting it done. And I did not realize I'd put that much pressure on myself. So, lesson learned, putting it out to the universe out there to you guys. Don't put pressure on yourself. Just be. We work so hard to just have fun and play and be. And in doing that, I totally jacked it up. I'm like, I love quilting, but when I'm working full time, it becomes more of a chore than a pleasure. And so lesson learned, don't put pressure on myself. So moving on, as I continue on this journey through enlightenment and becoming more enlightened, I've learned that I am a dinosaur and I love to fly. I'm happy about that. I'm cool about that. I'm like, let's go. But I'm pondering and becoming a little more reflective because Q keeps circling around and asking me on Being Inspired with Q more and more, how do we reach the masses? And really focusing in on the background that I came out of, as he joked and said he called me the Bible thumper. Coming out of Christianity, and how did I come out of that, and how am I to move into helping the masses? And I've struggled with that. I've talked to friends about it, and I'm like, what do I do? And I know that sometimes people talk about, you know, not getting, how do I word this? You know, don't read, you know, go within, figure it all out, that kind of thing. But sometimes I just need to at least get a jump start on something, I start a book, jump into it, and figure out where the heck did religion come from? How did we get there in the first place? We know, you know, Romans, we know Catholic Church, but there had to have been a beginning. It wasn't just like, poof, we have a pope. So how did that happen? And a very good friend of mine, I will not name her name on the air as she has not given me permission. I did not ask. She It was almost a light bulb went off over her head when we were having a conversation, and she goes, "You need to get the Blue Blood, True Blood book by Stuart Swerdlow." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." So I grabbed the book, and I expected to be studying about something else. We weren't really talking about religion at the time, but I expected to be studying something else and looking into something else. But I stumbled across a chapter in the book. If you have the book, I'm in chapter 11. And the book's called Blue Blood, True Blood, Conflict and Creation. And it's a personal story by Stuart Swerdlow. And I'm like, whoa, wait, what? And so chapter 11 goes into mind control via religion. And I'm like, I'll be dang, look at that. And it starts out, and he says, and I'm going to read a little bit of this. I may end up reading the whole thing because it's not really that long. And it's if you've ever read Dr. Swerdlow's work before, it is packed with information. He doesn't use a lot of fluff and floof. It's pretty much throwing the meat across the table and you're having to chew as fast as you can. It's not a lot of milk, if you know what I mean. So he starts out mind control via religion, not versus, but via religion. The first religion on Earth was the reptilian belief system brought by the colonists of Lemuria. Their religion believed in a god mind that contained a hierarchy, a caste system. This caste system was extrapolated to the several reptilian species incorporated into the Draco Empire. Each species had its own place in the structure of their society. Every individual knew its functions and respected these boundaries. To violate these rules meant death. The reptilians operate as a group mind, meaning that no single reptilian can make a decision for itself. Only the upper caste, or winged ones, have the semblance of individuality. They were and are the leaders. They were and are the leaders. When this religion was brought to Sumeria, the system was infused into society as a religious hierarchy. Remember that the colonists of Sumeria were refugees from, I might pronounce all these wrongs, I'm sorry, Lyra, 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 sorry, Lyraie, let me do that, Mars and Maldek. They, like the Atlanteans, excuse me, I've got a tickle in my throat, excuse me, they, like the Atlanteans, maintained the original belief system of the Lyrian culture. The Lyrian belief system encouraged individuality as well as promoted service to others as a pathway to self-growth. The Lyrians believed that red-haired people were connectors to God mind and, as such, used them as oracles. The reptilians worshiped the transparent beings from the astral planes as their creators. The transparent beings have a mass consciousness like an oversoul. They are basically genderless, although in terms of physical reality, their characteristics and traits render them more masculine than feminine. When the reptilians brought this religion to the Sumerians, they were careful to introduce it in a way that would be accepted and followed. First, they created a gender base for a gender-minded population. Then they instilled fear to control the mind patterns. Cleverly, they devised a religion based on a male-female god-goddess control system. The male god was Nimrod, the female goddess, Semiramis. They are depicted as half human, half reptilian. Their appearances were designed to frighten the humans into submission. Again, fear-based. Nimrod and Semiramis eventually became Osiris and Isis of Egypt, and the Apollo and Athena of Greece, among many other gods. All used the male-female god-goddess theme because it represented the original reptilian androgyny and the separation of human prototype into the male-female Adam and Eve. Because of the masculine tendency and the transparent people, and despite being androgynous themselves, the reptilians prefer the powerful male over the female. They represented the androgyny in summer by placing three horns on the reptilian god Nimrod. There are many layers of symbolism to this. I'm sorry, if you guys have children listening, you might cover their ears, take them to another room, or change the channel and come back. I'm going to say a couple of things that you probably may not want your children to hear. So there are many layers of symbolism to this: the penis and two testicles, two energies uniting to create a third, i.e., the human prototype. The three levels of existence: hyperspace, astral, and physical. The three levels of awareness is consciousness, subconsciousness, and superconsciousness. Androgyny leading to male and female sections. Thus, the number three was an important symbol to the reptilians on Earth. They represent this in many ways, including the lily or fleur-de-lis with its three points. That also plays back into some of the stuff that Michael Dean was teaching on his show, some of the symbolism and stuff that he'll be pointing out on his show called Bard's Rise. Continuing on, it says with the fleur-de-lis and its three points, they also use the scorpion with its stinger and two piercing claws. The advanced version of the scorpion is the eagle, which represents the scorpion in its higher form. Because of this, the eagle came to represent raising from a lower form to a higher form. It represented power and globalization. But it was a bird of prey. It was able to capture everything beneath it, especially live food. For these reasons, the Romans always used an eagle on their staffs whenever they marched into a city or country. Most people do not realize that all birds are descendants of reptilian dinosaurs. Many corporate logos and superheroes of today have wings attached to them. The wings also represent the winged reptilian leaders in the upper echelon of the reptilian Illuminati flowchart. Half a continent away in China, the remnants of Lemuria created a male-dominated empire system. Here, the male emperor would always have an empress. The people were told that the emperor and the empress were descendants of the sun god. The symbol of the empire was the dragon, another reptilian figure. This, quote, royal family created a dynasty that ruled tight-fisted for millennia. The Chinese reptilian religion spread across Eastern Asia, while the Sumerian version meandered through Central and Western Asia. The spread of these religions was intentionally controlled from the underground reptilian population, primarily centered under Tibet. Looking at a world map, one can easily see that this is the best underground base location in Asia to reach all areas of the continent. These reptilians were aided by beings from Sirius B who developed the Buddhist philosophies, as well as a group of renegade Lyrians trying to reproduce a Lyrian civilization under reptilian control. Strange bedfellows, Stuart Swerdlow says. At the same time in India, the reptilian refugees created a caste system that was a direct replica of the reptilian hierarchy, from the lowly workers, untouchables, to the Brahmin winged ones. This Indian reptilian culture remained localized, writing the ancient Vedas and building temples to the various reptilian gods. Meanwhile, I'm going to stop right here for a second. I know I'm reading a little bit, but it is really laying a foundation that I think a lot of us, it'll give us a lot of insight into how did religion get so twisted, and how did everybody eat it like baby birds, like just ate it like hook, line, and sinker, using all those terms. How did so many of us get taken advantage of? Continuing, meanwhile, the Egyptians, who were Atlantean Lyrian refugees, were in the process of building a new civilization from the remnants of their two major ancestral ones that were destroyed. The beings from Sirius A helped them, as they were a major factor in the interactions of Atlantis. As previously stated, in Egypt, the reptilian gods were known as Osiris and Isis. The Egyptian panacea of gods included a large variety of hybrid creatures, half human, half animal. This was reminiscent of the Atlantean hybrid experiments that found their way into Egyptian culture and was promoted by the Syrians, who were preparing that culture for a reptilian takeover. The Atlanteans were so entrenched in the original Lemurian belief system that it took several millennia for the reptilians to get a stronghold in that culture. Now that the remnants were scattered over the earth and non-cohesive, it was easy to send in infiltrators, in full, F-U-L-L, traitors, to sway the belief system toward the reptilian flavor. This began with the introduction of the cat as a focal point of worship. In the Sirius A star system, the main world is called Qum. The ancient name for Egypt is Khem. There is also a correlation with Mexico. Some researchers say that the Bay of Campeche, I believe, translates to the Bay of Old Egypt, indicating a connection between Egypt and the Yucatan Peninsula. This is not so. Syrians who interacted with Atlantis named this area after their homeworld, and they carried the name on to the new refugee culture in Egypt. Another planet in orbit around Sirius A is a world called Kilrodi. Here, the Syrians created high-intelligence cat-like beings. These cat-like beings are called lion people. In the 1970s and 1980s, the government created a cartoon for children that described these beings. In the high astral levels, there is an etheric race of lion beings who are gold, have wings, and violet eyes. I can't wait to meet them. That's me, not Stuart Swartlow. That's me. The name of the race is Ari. Ari is also the old Hebrew name or Hebrew word for lion. Their frequency is more powerful than the dolphin frequency. The Ari created the Oahu Council. The Ari created the Oahu Council that governs the Sirius A star system. The Kilrodi were generated by mixing the genetics of the Syrians with the energy of the Ari. This is what has brought to ancient Egypt. What was brought to ancient Egypt? As the non-physical energy descended into physical reality, DNA formed that could be used to create corporeal life. This was then mixed with human and wild lion DNA to form the common house cat found on Earth. The cat was given to every home. This is crazy. The cat was given to every home in ancient Egypt and programmed to leave at night to report back to their alien controllers. This is why cats to this day have the urge to go out at night. This also explains their aloof nature. We're almost done, guys, I promise. The Syrians incorporated worship of the cat idol into the Egyptian religion to ensure the perpetuity of this method of spying. The Syrians also built the Sphinx as a symbol reminder of the blending of human genetics with lion frequency. This was a way to energetically bind future civilizations to the Syrians. The Sphinx was designed to face the morning star Sirius A every day. The face of the Sphinx is identical to the face on the Mars monument that looks down on the Earth at the Sphinx. Pardon me. Syrian technology built the complexes at the Sidonia Plateau on Mars upon the arrival of the first Lyrian refugees. The new Martians were unaware of the close Syrian connection to the reptilians. The original pyramids, built after the destruction of Atlantis, were energy points. They were the same ships underground as above, making them octahedrons. This is from my friend Sarah, pyramids. At their center is a tetrahedron. This master shape is an archetype symbol for God-mind totality. Anything at its exact center is absolutely protected. The octahedron is also the shape of a Delta T antenna used at the Montauk Project. This shape was energized in the proper color codes, causes interdimensional rifts, creating vortices and wormholes. Rituals performed at this center point produce vast energies that can be transmitted through hyperspace to anywhere in creation. Some researchers claim that the pyramids were pumping stations for underground Nile tributaries. This is only partially true. Because water is an electromagnetic amplifier, it was used to surround the ritual chamber located in the Delta T to boost ritual energy. Using these methods, the ancient Egyptians controlled weather. Does that sound familiar? Can we say harp? HAARP. Destroyed enemies, created stargates, and boosted their reptilian energies and ceremony. This is also why the Montauk Project was located near vast amounts of water. The Great Pyramid is part of a protective solar system grid, linking the Moon and Mars monuments together to produce a force field to repel invaders. That's interesting. The Great Pyramid is also connected to other points on the Earth, such as Stonehenge, a submerged Atlantean crystal, Tiahuanaco, Ayers Rock, and White Pyramid in Western China. Together, they form an energy containment field similar to an electric fence. I think we've talked about that on Being Inspired with Q2. Continuing, the HAARP project in Alaska taps into this. Meanwhile, a dynastic culture similar to the reptilian Chinese dynasties was forming in Egypt. The reptilian control, pardon me, the reptilian control religion based on Osiris and Isis fanned out over Northeast Africa and the Middle East. At the same time, the reptilian Sumerian cult of Nimrod and Semiramis fanned out over Central Asia. A unification of these beliefs was necessary to accomplish the plan set forth from the beginning. This is why Abraham originated in the Sumerian city of Ur, journeying westward toward the Middle East. It was no accident that the followers of Abraham wound up in Egypt, where the Syrians then created the Hebrews. The Hebrews were destined to be the cultural prototype for the future world. This is why they were programmed to wander all over the earth and influence all existing cultures. With all of this as a background, the reptilian blue bloods now needed to form a global empire that would encompass the cultures that they had inspired. They needed to counteract the other alien groups that had been working diligently in Europe to create more human civilizations. So that is the end of chapter 11 in Blue Blood, True Blood by Dr. Stuart Swerdlow. And that one was a mind blower for me because I'd always just gone back to Rome and learning about Christianity and stuff like that, and had not really known the depths of the involvement beforehand, not to give any more energy to that. But I just wanted to run that out there to you guys. I know that there are other people out there like me that may have been born and raised in Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever your ism is. And you've stumbled across the truth and you kind of ended up in a whiplash like me. And you're now wondering, how do I go back and help the ones that I love and help the ones that are just truly great-hearted, heart-centered people that are just that one puzzle piece off from walking in complete truth and learning to go within themselves and learning to look to themselves as opposed to looking outside for their support, their life, their happiness, their peace. So I wanted to transition into, I have a very sweet soul sister that has shared so much wisdom with me. We're all the way across the world from each other. We don't know really how far that is, but she is really a ways away from me, but she has shared so much with me, and it's been a lot of fun because we talk about how do I word this? We challenge each other and we ask each other where we are and how are we doing, but she's so wise and so intuitive, and she's reminded me that, slower is faster, and Q has said slower is faster. And then Q also mentioned, a common trait of ascension is just do what you prefer. And she sent me this writing that I just loved, and it said, "Let yourself be guided by the silence within you today. Let yourself be guided by the silence within you today. Not the noise around you, not by old patterns, not by doubt. Your deepest truth isn't found in thoughts or in the expectations of others. It exists in the space between words, between moments. Remember, you are not the chaos around you. You are the one who observes it. Breathe. Feel. Be. Just be. It was really sweet. She invited me to join her in writing a love letter to ourselves. So writing a love letter to myself. And we both agreed to write the letter, but have given ourselves complete and total permission to take our time. Slower is faster. There is no deadline on writing the letter. Just taking in and learning more about us and falling more in love with us. And so I wanted to invite my listeners. I invite you to just feel into and consider writing yourself a love letter. What do you love about yourself? If you were completely and totally and emphatically in love with you, and you were the center of your attention, you made your own heart go pitter-patter, what would you say in the love letter to yourself? So I challenge you to tap into that and write yourself a love letter. You don't have to report back. You don't have to tell anyone you're doing it, and you have no timeline. Enjoy that. I have checked into Lucia Nicola Evans turned me on to this book. I've read a little bit out of it before, called The Untethered Soul, The Journey Beyond Yourself. And Michael A. Singer is the author, and it's really good. And you literally, this is one of those books that you can just open it up and just start reading. There's something on every page that will just pull you in and just consume your attention. It's just, oh, it's so good. It's like liquid knowledge in here. It's liquid love that comes out of this book. And I've been talking to some friends and some new friends that I've connected with. And I've been talking to them about, you know, Q always circles back with me on the show, and he circles back and asks me questions about how do we reach the masses, Bible Thumper? You know, okay, Bible Thumper, how are we going to reach those people? How are we going to find that one puzzle piece? These are my words, but how are we going to find that one puzzle piece and help these people, you know, tap into going within, learning to go within? And he encouraged me to reach out to others. And so I've asked other people that I trust and that I know, what does he mean? What does it mean to you? You know, if you were, and I'm not asking them to do my homework, I'm asking them for input. What does it mean to you? You know, you've come out of, you know, Catholicism, or you've come out of whatever. What does it mean to you? And I asked a friend, I think I can use her first name. I think she'll be okay. Nobody will know who she is. We'll just say, well, I asked a friend that her initial is K, and we'll leave it at that. I've asked her, what do you think that means for me? Because I believe that I do have a calling to help bring people to a true knowledge. And we were just tapping into it. And she was really great. She was just like, feel into it. And she said, basically, I don't know how to word it. She basically just said, you know, it's like you need to, or help be a conduit, I guess is the word she used was conduit. It was really good. Be a conduit to help other Christians know what it means and feels like to go within. And so in doing that, I've really kind of been wrapping my head around it on how am I to be that conduit? And how do I get past, we've talked on being inspired with Q, both Aloha and I have. We've both talked about how do you get past the programming when the Bible teaches, and most of the religions teach that if anybody comes to you and says that, you know, an angel comes down and says that this teaching is not true, you know, lightning, thunder, boom, you know, it's a lie. And so you're programmed from the time you're doing the little felt board in kindergarten in your Sunday school class with the little Jesus felt, you know, and the little lambs and all that you do on the felt board. You're programmed from day one that it's that way or the highway, that that's the only way that you're going to get into heaven. And it's driven by fear. I'm not going to get into heaven if I don't do this Christianity thing. And I can't speak for Hinduism or Buddhism, but I'm assuming that if that's the source from back when, that it was fear-based, that it's all a fear-based, that even though they train you to walk in love and they train you to love others, there's still a very sneaky underlying fear that is driving people. So in the Untethered Soul book, I don't mean to read a lot to you, but it really moved me today to talk a little bit about this. But he's talking about, Michael A. Singer in The Untethered Soul, he's talking about far, far beyond. And the word beyond captures the true meaning of spirituality. In its basic most sense, going beyond means going past where you are. It means not staying in your current state. When you constantly go beyond yourself, there are no more limitations. There are no more boundaries. Limitless limitations and boundaries only exist at the places where you stop going beyond. If you never stop, then you go beyond boundaries. You're beyond limitations. You're beyond the sense of a restricted self. And I know when I first, years ago, heard about Q and was getting introduced to Q, I remember asking several times, pardon the freak, I'll make it nice. Like, what the freak does he mean by go within? What the freak does that mean? I didn't understand it. And I'm like, okay, I'll go within. But I had no clue what that meant. And just as a side note, in Christianity, you sure as heck didn't go to the tarot reader and you didn't go to anybody that was dowsing. You didn't do, nay on that. That was evil, wicked, nay, bad. You know, you're going to burn in hell for that. So there wasn't anybody you could go to. And you sure don't go to, you know, your pastor or your reverend or whatever it is, or your Christian friends and say, hey, what does the meaning go within mean to you? They'll be like, what? Are you doing that new age stuff? And so there really wasn't a place to go. So you kind of had to just, work through it. And then finally, you know, keep listening. And it made more sense. So in looking in this book, it made me realize that, okay, far, far beyond. Beyond is infinite in all directions. If you take a laser beam, this is from the book again. If you take a laser beam and aim it in any direction, it will go on for infinity. It would only cease to be infinite if you created an artificial boundary that you cannot penetrate. That's something that I, on a side note, asking Q about, you know, the electromagnetic force field that has been described as like a ball of yarn that Q and Mermaid have talked about having a lot of holes in it now, that it's not as predominant at keeping us in as it has in the past. And in that force field, it talks about, and he's talking about that, and it really made me think about that. It's like, how do we get past this? How do we get past this thing? And he's saying that it will go on for infinity. So if we just go within, we can go far, far beyond. We only cease to be infinite if we created an artificial boundary that we can't penetrate. And those boundaries create the appearance of finiteness in infinite space. Things seem finite because your perception hits mental boundaries. And that again, you know, when we command our spirit to take the thoughts in our head and drop them into our heart, and the monkey mind just goes bing, 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 and it's bouncing back and forth, And you're focusing very hard on, stay focused, stay centered, stay clear. But the next thing you know, monkey mind, boink, 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 boink. And it's like this going within and commanding our spirit to take the thoughts in our head and drop them into our heart, I think is a real challenge for a lot of people. I don't know if a lot of us talk about it, but I think it's a challenge because we are so programmed and designed to be mind focused. And so I think this book would be a really good book for a lot of you to tap into. If you're not into books, don't let me talk you into it. I know Q says, try to stay away from books and get it for yourself. But if you're one that likes to try to get something that'll trigger you off onto your next going within and searching for more answers, I really like this book. It goes on and on and talks about if anything happens that challenges you or to view things, if anything happens that challenges how you view things, you fight, you defend, you rationalize, you get frustrated and angry over simple little things. I think that's kind of funny going back to in the United States, the recent elections that we had, there literally is something that is now been tagged as Trump derangement syndrome. People were out of their minds with anger and fear and just a craziness because it did not align with their views. And they fought and they get frustrated and angry over simple little things. And whether you are a Trump supporter or you're not, that's not my point. My point is on both sides, there are people that are pulling on both sides. And so where is your peace? Where is your center? Where is your focus? And so just learning to go within and take that time that my friend was talking about earlier about you are not the chaos around you. You are the one who observes it. And I've even heard it taught that you take a step away, you take a step back from it. A friend of mine was telling me that if there's pain, physical pain even, if there's physical pain, that you don't give energy to it, you don't want to give life to it, that you step out, your spirit, your source steps out and is over your shoulder or over at the side of you, looking at where you're at and what's going on and all of that. So I just realized that BBS, I'm sorry, told me that I'm a little quiet. I'm sorry, guys. Let me see what I can do here. They may have already turned me up. I'm turned up pretty high, but I'll turn up a little bit more. BBS, is that better? So I apologize. So with that, we are learning to walk in who we are, and we all lose it. None of us are perfect. We will have great days where we are on top of the mountain and we are walking the walk and we are talking the talk and we feel like, we are already on, we're there, we've ascended and we're out. But then there are times when you may have a really great day, you may have a really great show, and then you've stirred the pot a little bit and then you're under attack and you're physically attacked or you're emotionally attacked or you're frustrated because why are we still here? Why are we not through this? Why haven't we already, pushed against and fought against peacefully, of course. I'm not talking about going out in the streets, guys. But why are we not making progress? But then, like I said on my anniversary of the show being on for a year, if I look back, I've really grown. I've really grown. So in that, if I've really grown, then maybe it's not, how do I word that? Maybe it's not, maybe what we think is not always accurate. Maybe we are growing. Maybe things are changing. We're just not seeing them. And so that's why I think it's important to just stay in our heart center, stay focused on where we're at, and do what we love to do. Play, enjoy life. If you like gardening and it's springtime where you're at, you're starting to get excited. You're starting to get excited about My tulips are coming up. I'm super excited about my tulips coming up. My lilac bush is just starting to put out little tiny buds, and my redbud trees are starting to put out buds. They're going to be blooming soon. So things like that excite me. I'm excited about doing stuff like that. What excites you about life? What helps you to stay heart-centered? I haven't shared a lot with you guys recently about my work and where I'm at with that. It's pretty intense. It's pretty intense right now. On the last show that I was on with Q, he made a comment, and at first I didn't get it, and then I got it. We already kind of moved on, but he was saying that I was banking. I'm doing a lot of banking, and I'm like, yeah, it's intense where I'm at right now. And the lawsuit has been elevated to a federal lawsuit, and we're currently in the midst of doing the interrogatories and all of the discovery requests from to have done to get it all done. Going through all of our emails, going through all of our phones, going through all of our texts, et cetera, and so forth, getting all of that pulled up so we can submit all that. And I've always told you guys that I would be brutally honest and very transparent. And I'll tell you what, I've had two massages in like a week and a half time, and I feel the stress. I'm feeling it. And I've got other pressures at work on top of all of that. And it doesn't seem that I can get my work done by I'm doing other things outside of that. So I'm having to really tell myself, as you can tell, I need to go within. I need to spend more time with me. And then my physical side is like, okay, you wake up, you go to work, you come home, you crash. So where do you get your more time? Well, you have to make your more time. And so I was thinking, well, maybe instead of sitting at lunch, working at my desk, maybe you get out. Maybe you just go get in your car or do something, but just get away from the ringing phones and the people dropping in and needing your time. There are good things going on at work too. There are exciting things going on, new things that are happening, and community members that are coming up with great ideas to do some fun and exciting things. So it's not all bad, but put it all together, it's still quite the pressure cooker. And but it's okay. It's okay. We're all humanoids. We're all mammalians, as Key would say. But we're on this walk, and we're on this journey together. And as a collective consciousness, we're going to kick ass. And so we get knocked down, or we have a rough day. That's okay. That's okay. We get our commands, we get back up on the horse, and we ride, and we work our commands, and we lean on our friends. And if you don't have any friends around you or family around you, like I don't have anybody close around me right where I'm at, then you get on the shows, and you listen to them over and over again, because there's so much coming across the airwaves on this Saturday, on the Saturday shows. There's so much being thrown at us that you're going to miss some of it if you only listen to it once. You got to get it in. And I know it sounds weird, but we used to always, there's a scripture in the Bible, and there's some truth to the Bible, guys, but it would say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I'm going to twist that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So that way, what you're hearing gets down into your heart, and it becomes heart knowledge. So we also used to say, be careful, little ears, what you hear. So quit listening to mainstream media, quit listening to people at work, quit listening to negative influences. Start turning on BBS Radio, our Q Train on Saturday, and start listening to people that are on the same consciousness as you. And so you kind of deprogram out the negative. You protect your little ears from what you're hearing on mainstream media, and then you reprogram what you're hearing on this alternative means of media that is kicking ass, mind you, and get yourself some food, get yourself some nourishment, and get yourself centered and focused, so that way you are ready for that next Monday at work. If you're not in the matrix, God love you, bless you, stay out. If you can, stay out. But if you are in the matrix, I am, then you still have to go in with a good heart. You still have to go in focused that it is going to be a great day. I am going to make it a great day. And even though the pressure is up, the fire under the pot is on high for me right now, I still choose to have a good day, and I still choose to love on my employees and the people I touch. So with that said, I have a little bit of time left. How did I get through all that? Wow, that's amazing. I guess I had a friend ask me if I was ever going to take calls on my show, and I said, I've never done it, but I guess I could. So I have just a few minutes. I probably only have, guys, probably about, I would say, 10 minutes tops, I guess, BBS, if that's about right. But if somebody does want to call in, you're welcome to call in. I love to hear from you guys when you send me emails, and I love everyone that supports me. But if there's anybody else out there, I do have about 10 minutes where I could take just a call or two. But I just want to tell you guys, I am so excited that you guys are here, that we are on the Q train, and that we are making a difference. That collective consciousness that Q has talked about it's legit. It's legitimate. And I do feel like a baby bird sometimes when I'm listening to him, because I'm like, feed me, because it really resonates with me what he's talking about. So in that, I encourage you to, you may not listen to all the shows on Saturday, and we've got new ones that have added in. We've got a new one on Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m., no, 5, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and go back down toward wherever you are. And it's a firecracker. And I encourage you to go look for that one. It's called Bard's Rise, and it's by Michael Dean. We also have other ones that are called Sojourns, and we've got, oh my gosh, I'm not going to list everybody because I'll forget. I don't have a list in front of me. We've got Robin, and we've got Lauren as Ocean, and we've got the Sojourn Sisters with the Merman, and we've got all of that going on that is out there to help feed you and to help you live and grow and be amazing. Just be amazing. And you never know when you hear that one thing on a show that might just literally light you up and send you off into what your purpose is here on Earth. Why did you agree to come here for this time? I ask myself a lot, and I would love to. Oh yeah, BBS, yeah, sure. I'll take Kayla from California on line 2. I'll go ahead and take him. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. I'm so good.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you some loving, and you're just amazing. And I just love you, love you, love you. Keep going, keep going.
Thank you. I love you too. I can feel your love. I'm getting the tingles right now.
Everything you've shared today, you know, this whole day actually has just been so, I don't know what the word is, just, it's pretty synchronistic, pretty, like, I can feel it's all, our hearts are all starting, well, they are beating together, but it's like I'm starting to feel it more. And I thank you for that also. So thank you, thank you, thank you for showing up and being so brave and just putting yourself out there and being a conduit. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I can't do it without you guys. It's really weird on this end, not weird. It's unique on this end because I didn't expect it. I had done radio in the past before I was doing this, and I didn't expect to be able to literally feel, sense in my heart. I feel y'all's love. I feel y'all's support. And I feel whenever I'm having a tough day or whenever I was having to share some tough things, I literally feel being carried by you guys. And thank you for taking the time to call in and love on me. I feel loved. Thank you.
You are so loved. You are so
Thank
loved.
you.
And just for encouragement to all of your beautiful listeners out there, I have stepped out of the matrix for a number of years, and it's fabulous. I highly encourage it.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm coming after you. I'm following in your footsteps. I'm coming.
Do it.
Well,
Let her rip.
Listen.
Do it.
I will. I'm going to let you go. Looks like I've got Shelly
Okay.
online too, it looks like, or she may have fallen off, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. Love you bunches.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. So guys, I think I have another caller, but it looks like it says one moment. So something may have happened, but I just love people that, I don't know if you guys can feel it. I can feel it whenever people call in to other shows and I can hear them and you can feel their energetics. And to call in and just take the time to share with people, thank you. It really does mean a lot. I encourage everyone to have the most beautiful, beautiful day. And I have Shelly on Arizona from line 3. We have time for a quick question, Shelly. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Sunshine.
Hi, how are you?
Aloha. Oh,
Hello.
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
So on the Q shows, I'm the one that's calling in that is just really freaking out with anxiety about talking to a million people. And so
it's
I want to ask you, did you have to push through uncomfortable feelings? Because, you know, in the last 4 years, all I've done is what I feel like doing, what I want to do, what inspires me. And when it comes to picking up a phone to call in, that doesn't feel good. So did you ever have that in the beginning, or were you a natural at doing what you're doing?
I have done radio before, so I don't think about the millions that are listening. But I will tell you this, when I've sung on the radio, that one is one I have to push through. I have to push through on that one. So when I sing and people say, you know, please sing again, I'm like, whoo, okay. I do have to push through on that one because that one I feel like I've taken off all my clothes and I am naked and I'm out there. And if I hit, you know, like, you know, and that's a pride thing. And I know that. And so I just push through it. So, but you do great. Every time you call in, you say you're nervous, but you don't sound like you're nervous. You do a great job. Looks like I have about 2 minutes
it's
left.
Awesome.
Do you have anything else for me?
I just want to say I've heard you sing once and you were fabulous. So it didn't come across that you were nervous.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
Thank
So how
you.
Is Arizona
And I am
today?
Contacting you.
I'm sorry, say
I
again?
Didn't hear what you said.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be contacting you through that message board on BBS. So I just wanted to put that out there that I'm trying to do that.
Oh, I look forward to that. I'll look forward to it. Thank you so much. Go give Arizona all my love.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll try to get one more on. Karen from Pennsylvania, if that's okay, Shelly. Karen, are you there?
How could I not call the first time you were taking calls? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Sort of, but we're together and that's all that matters.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my Karen.
I said, if I don't call, I sent you a message after your first show. I said,
yep.
I have to. I had to, like, jump up and, like, run outside because I have a house full of people. I go, I'm calling her. I have to. Have to.
Karen, can I
well,
share
I
that you're the
to
first
say
person?
I love you.
I love you, too. Can I share that you're the first person that reached out to me? I just
I'm
did.
I'm so happy.
Thank
so
you
happy.
So much. Well, go back to your house full of guests. I'm so happy to talk to you. I love you, love you, love you. Thank you so much.
I love you. Thank you for putting yourself out there.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon. All right, everybody. That was Whiplash Talk. My first time on the phones. It was kind of scary. Okay, Shelly, that was a little scary, but you guys made it wonderful. I love each and every one of you guys. I'm going to sign off, and I will be on Being Inspired with Q, with Aloha and Q, and hopefully Mermaid, at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. Love you, love you, love you. Bye, guys. See you in 2 weeks.